live from America's finest city. This is Real Talk San Diego on ESPN 1700. And now, your hosts, Ryan White and David McKelvin.
Welcome. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour here on ESPN 1700 AM. With me today, I have James Hagan, U.S. Mortgage Corporation, 45 years in the business. That's a long time.
Glutton for punishment.
I guess so. Also with us today, Joe Roach, Coast Appraisal Services, coming in at nearly over 10,000 appraisals?
10,000 plus.
Wow, that is a lot of appraisals. So we have a lot of, well, let's call it mental equity in the room, so to speak, right? Plenty of guys, seasoned, time on planet to the extreme. They know what they're doing. And we're going to start with Jim giving us some idea of what's going on in terms of rates today. So we've got the conforming rate and jumbo rate. Give us a little snippet of what's going on there.
Well, right now, starting with the FHA, VA category of those loans are going out anywhere from 3.75% to 3.875%, depending on the FICO scores, the amount of help the borrower needs in terms of closing costs. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans are checking in somewhere in the 4.5%, 4.625%, also depend on appraisal credit scores and that sort of thing. And the jumbos, oddly enough, because they're trading in a different secondary marketing pool, are actually an incredible bargain right now. They're about 4.125% to 4.25%. All the way up to about the $2 million mark, again, depending on the amount of down payment, the FICO scores, and the type of product you're choosing. There's just a plethora of products available now. So discussing interest rates on each individual product would take way more than the hour.
But it's complicated.
It's out there, though. It's out there, though.
So just to sum up here, if you're contemplating a refi, under 4 for mm-hmm. conforming, mm-hmm. you know, with a variety of disclaimers associated with that, mm-hmm. but in general, under 4, just a touch over 4 for jumbo, again, with a variety of conditions as well, and then with very little down, the FHA product, you're talking slightly under 5.
Yes.
Wow. And that seems like it's been that way for a long time.
Well, it's been in that area now for about 6 to 8 months, and it's just a phenomenal time right now in the mortgage market. And I think as people's confidence in the economy and their position gets a little better, they're going to see how they can really leverage themselves in and get rid of some of the things that they've been struggling with, like higher interest rates, PMI, and that sort of thing. As we were discussing earlier, now that the equity is there, it does open up a lot of people who had not previously thought they could get refinances. And now they can make it happen.
We're talking with James Hagan, U.S. Mortgage Corporation. His number, 858-997-5825. One more time, 858-997-5825. All right, we're going to jump over here to Joe Roach, Coast Appraisal Services. I went looking through a couple of internet searches, and I pulled up a list from Pardee and a list from HGTV. Both parties, I would say, have a pretty good idea of what's going on out there. And really, the overall topic is bang for your buck when it comes to renovating, doing upgrades to the home. I mean, if I'm going to spend a dollar on my home, and my plan is to spend money on my home to sell it, if I'm going to spend a dollar on my home, I want to get at least $2 back. Now, if I intend to live there, I'm going to do all kinds of crazy stuff like my wife has had me do, like paint 9 coats of red paint on one wall. Took like a month to do that, and a variety of other stuff that I'm never going to get my money back of, but I don't intend to sell it. I intend to live there. So this is mostly targeted to those people who are going to put money in today and hopes in the very near future, let's say within the year, they intend to sell it and reap some benefit of, again, like my example would be a dollar in and get $2 back. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm going bang for your buck. And again, I've got a list here from Pardee Homes and HGTV. Now, Joe, you have a list. The appraisers kind of have a general idea of what additional stuff in a home can add value, right? What's this list called?
Well, there's no secret list that exists per se. However, I think what we're referring to is when an appraiser appraises a home, how much value would he give to a particular improvement? And so the answer is that those numbers are derived by what we call a paired sales analysis. And that's going to differ slightly from market to market because typically, let's just say that if we're in Rancho Santa Fe, the appraised value of a new bathroom would be slightly different than it would be if we were doing a smaller home down in San Ysidro. Simply, for the obvious reasons, square footage of bathroom, but also quality of improvements and finishes. And so when we're looking at that particular scenario that you're referring to, Ryan, which is we're looking to sell or we're going to stay, it will depend, I think, on in both situations, on what your budget is. So hopefully you have purchased a home that was a good investment, and what you're looking to do is to reap the maximum out of that. It's an exciting time in real estate for a number of reasons, and one of those Jim just touched on. It's historic low rates, and there's not a lot of inventory. So what can we do to maximize our value? What can we do to sell quickly and to recoup as much on our investment as we possibly can? I think you're pointing to the list here, and of course, the high dollar areas of most homes, Ryan, are going to be in the kitchen and the baths. And so those particular areas are areas that we could start with. And once again, depending on your budget, we could talk a little bit about what improvements people are looking for, what would return the greatest value for you. But for me, as an appraiser, it always begins with curb appeal. And I think that everyone would agree, we'd all agree, that even when we bought our very first home, that when we pulled up out front, you had to have something that attracted you to the inside. Otherwise, you just kind of move on. So for me, it begins with curb appeal, and that's an area where you can get a real improvement with a very little investment.
That's interesting to think that an appraiser is not immune to curb appeal. Well, let's take that into account. So let's take a look at number one here, kitchen. Now, kitchen, I would say, is the location that you can spend the most amount of money, most amount of concentrated wealth spent on a home right there in the kitchen. So I'm going to ask a couple questions. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I think it's important everybody else know that. There's any particular upside to one cabinet choice over another? And I'll give you an extreme example. Something very, very standard, a wood grain cabinet, something you buy off the shelf today at Home Depot, versus a cabinets made by hand that were built out of a reclaimed barn that was tore down in Tuscany from, the 1800s. Does an appraiser see anything like that? And, of course, the overall picture of where you'd see the Tuscan cabinet, maybe in Rancho Santa Fe, and the other Home Depot cabinet you may not see there. But assuming they were in the same location, does the appraiser see, is there a way of evaluating a difference in that?
Well, absolutely. And it begins, and let's just kind of back it all the way down to what the average home would look like, because there are a small percentage of homes will have the reclaimed wood from the Tuscan countryside. But when we're looking at the typical home, one of the things that we note right off the bat is wood grain, or what I like to call stain grade versus paint grade.
Oh, okay.
And that in itself represents a little bit of a cost saving. If you're trying to keep the cost down as much as possible, then some people would choose the paint grade. However, I think one thing that is overlooked is while the quality of finishes is important, it's the overall way that the kitchen appeals to the consumer that I think is most important. You can have quality finish on the floor. You can have a Versailles pattern travertine tile. However, if that particular color palette and scheme does not match up with the other things that you've chosen, then you're not going to get the maximum value. So what's important is the overall picture, the overall contribution, and then I think you set your budget, then you break it down to see what you can pull together. And I think planning is probably something that's probably underutilized by most consumers.
Well, there's no doubt that in the end, and actually making money on the sale of the home is up to the buyer, right? There's no doubt about that. And I'm looking at you as the educated eyes of the buyer, right? So in theory, things that you're going to give extra value to, a buyer might as well. And you brought up a really good point, stain grade versus paint grade in terms of cabinetry. And I would assume that paint grade means you're going to find a cabinet that's not as nice. You're going to paint it, which kind of hides the grain of the wood, as opposed to stain grade something you would stain and put a glaze on that would make the wood show. Is that the idea?
Or you would have a melamine cover over a pressed
wood.
Pressed wood, exactly. And I think what's important here is that we recognize that there are various levels of quality. There are various levels of contribution to the overall value, since we're talking kitchens. So if we're talking appliances, we'd like to see those appliances match. We wouldn't necessarily want to see a 15-year-old dishwasher that's avocado. We wouldn't want to see a 10-year-old refrigerator that has kind of an ivory tone, and then perhaps a new stainless microwave that's going to be taken anyway. So we're looking to, once again, we're looking to match as much as we can. We're looking for the color palette to tie in favorably so that it's pleasing. And we're looking to stay within the budget that you've allotted for that particular improvement. And one of the things that people like to start with is the countertop. And mm-hmm. that can chew up a little bit of your budget.
Yeah, certainly it can. And so you brought up an interesting point about appliances. So if I'm to put in the Wolf or the Viking range as opposed to, you know, whatever $500 range I can get off the shelf there, there's got to be a difference of, I mean, you could pay as much as $10,000 for one of those things. So substantial difference in price. From an appraisal perspective, you're able to give more value for that?
Yes, because what it does is it allows us to kind of ratchet the overall value of the home up into a little bit different gradient. So we talk about better quality finishes and we adjust for those. You very often, though, do not get dollar for dollar, especially as the age of the appliance begins to, show. There's some depreciation, et cetera, et cetera. But overall, the eye of the appraiser is not only trained, but has to pick up the differences, the nuances in quality in each of the high dollar areas of the home, kitchen, baths.
You're getting super specific with the questions I just asked are like really, really specific in terms of additional value. And I think ultimately you're saying that you can give more value to, like I said, the Viking range over the Gen Air or whatever comes off the shelf. We're talking with Joe Roach here with Coast Appraisal Services, over 10,000 appraisals under his belt. His number is 619-518-3205. One more time, 619-518-3205. We're talking about bang for your buck, going over a list from Party Homes as well as HGTV's list. We got through one, maybe one and a half of the five on the list. When we come back, we're going to talk with James Hagan, U.S. Mortgage Corporation, about the state of the lending market ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Joe Roach with Coast Appraisal Services. His number is 619-518-3205. One more time, 619-518-3205. We've been talking about bang for your buck with respect to home renovations, and we will get back to that. I'm going to shift gears now to James Hagan, and I want to talk about lending on a home, right? I mean, that's what we're here to talk about. But more specifically, I've picked out one, let's say a $600,000, single family, three bedroom, 1,800 square feet home here in San Diego, nothing funky going on. What kind of loan programs are out there for something like that?
Oh, that's right in the wheelhouse of every lending institution that is down here. The first thing you're going to ask the guy is, are you a veteran? The best loan going right now is the VA loan. I mean, it's a 100% loan-to-value loan up to 533-750. And so if he's a veteran, you're lending him 533-750, and then he has to put 25% down of the difference. So what is that? Of the 66-250, he puts 25% of that down.
Like 18,000, whatever, 25% right. Of whatever is above 533.
Right. And we're setting him up with a loan where the seller can pay up to 4% of his closing costs. If he's disabled in any way, not even getting a dollar from the government, his funding fee is waived. We can set it up to where adjusting the interest rate where all of his costs, and we could do what's called a VA no-no, no down payment, no closing costs, where he walks in with literally nothing. I had a bosun's mate a few months ago where he actually walked away from escrow with about a $200 check, buying himself a little condo down in the Coronado area. But that would be the first question. You find out, okay, and that's the thing in lending right now. All the lenders are very close in terms of interest rate, and it turns on what the FICO scores are and how much down they're putting and the product. The real expert lenders are probing the borrowers and finding out exactly what is their need, what will best serve them. So we'll start with the VA loan on that particular loan amount. The next situation, let's say this guy's got 20% down. He just wants a standard conventional loan. So now he's looking at a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan that's going to be stuck in one of those vanilla boxes that the investment bankers are always talking about and sold on the secondary market. Well, that loan can be anywhere from a 90% loan with 10% down or a regular 80-20, 20% down, 80% loan. And that, again, will be determined on the what the borrower needs, what he wants his end payments to be, how long he's going to be there. Let's say he's a new first-time buyer and he's only going to be there 5 years. We might want to look at a 5-1 ARM or something like that, which is in the neighborhood of 3% on the interest rate for fixed for 5 years or 7 years or 3 years. So you've got to probe the buyer and find out what's best for him. But let's say
we're talking with Jim Hagen here, U.S. Mortgage Corporation. His number is 858-997-5825. One more time, 858-997-5825. So if I'm going to kind of reiterate there, for the nothing down VA, mm-hmm. although at this purchase price, they're going to put a little bit down. And in your scenario, it kind of with $18,000 down, it worked out to be roughly 3%.
Right.
You know, thereabouts. Okay. Then the next tier would be 10% down, being $60,000. That's your 90% loan, mm-hmm. 10% down. And then the tier after that would be 20% down, 80% loan. So that'd be a loan of $480,000
right.
with $120,000 down. Okay. And so those are the kind of most common lending scenarios out there for, let's say, a $600,000
right.
single family home.
Right.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. One more time, reach out to James, 858-997-5825 with U.S. Mortgage Corporation. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. In the last 2 or 3 years, there's been an enormous amount of FHA and VA loans. They've been done mostly because the government has been the only one willing to take the risk with nearly 100% financing. All mm-hmm. the private lenders are gone as far as 100% financing go. One of the downsides of recently, and certainly in the past, the downsides of the FHA loan is the
mutual mortgage insurance.
Mortgage insurance, right, which means you're paying a little bit extra every month mm-hmm. to ensure the fact that, well, essentially you're not going to default. And it's not a write-off.
Right.
So if you look back 2 or 3 years, it's likely that the value of the home has come up 16.5% for an FHA loan, such that you might have 20% equity in the home. Mm-hmm. If you do have 20% equity in the home, you can refinance, get yourself a conventional loan with a variety of stipulations, of course. But once that's done, that's the only way of getting rid of MMI, right?
There's a yes, that is the only way to get rid of. There is a couple of things. There is an FHA streamline, but that will still have, you could lower your interest rate, but that will still have MMI on it. But in order to get rid of to get completely out from underneath the FHA mortgage insurance, you're going to have to refinance.
So in years past, you could submit an appraisal to suggest to the lender that there was 20% equity, and they just waive the MMI? Is that how that worked?
More than suggest. You have to prove
suggest,
it.
Suggest, okay. Well, appraiser would
Yeah,
do
they
that.
Don't take suggestions.
Of course.
You have to prove it, and they will follow it up with their own review appraisal. And it usually was not a contentious process if you had a legitimate appraiser like Coast Appraisal Services handling it. You know, if you had your brother-in-law who's a realtor giving you an appraisal, that's not going to work.
Right.
You know, but yes, that is the way to do it. But they changed that law. It was changed about April of 2010, I believe. And that went away. And now the only way to get rid of it. And the reason for that was because the economic crisis and how many loans that they had to take back, they decided that in order to pay back FHA for their losses, they would leave that mortgage insurance on there for the life of the loan.
That's right.
And so now that's what the change is. But now, as you mentioned, the appreciation is there and we're starting to see those loans. or we can refinance them.
When you mentioned rates earlier in the program here, you had suggested that a conventional loan is about 1% less than an FHA loan. Yeah, they're about. So there's some savings between the two. Wasn't it right around high threes? Wasn't that what you're talking about? Fours for a conventional loan?
No, the VA loan.
Okay, what's FHA nowadays?
FHA, VA and FHA are very similar. FHA is about four and an eighth. VA generally, with the borrower paying like a point or something, or even a 0 point deal, is generally around 3 7/8. It's a little bit better, and that's all subject to qualifying appraisal, doing the APRs, and figuring out disclosures for them. Whereas the Fannie Mae loan that you're referring to, I believe, is about 4.5%.
Right.
And then the thing is that because it's trading in a different secondary market, the jumbos are actually cheaper. They're at about 4.25% for a $2 million loan.
So there's some savings to be had.
Oh, absolutely.
To refinance out of your governmental loan into a conventional loan.
Yeah.
In terms of rate.
Yeah.
So not only is there potential to get rid of the extra insurance, but reduce the payment in general.
Yes.
And I would propose that most people out there, if you had made an attempt to refinance in the last 2 years and didn't have the equity to do so, or if you had purchased in the last 2 or 3 years with one of these very little down mortgages, there may be an opportunity to check the equity in the property, refinance it now, and lower your rate a little bit, and potentially get rid of the MMI.
Absolutely.
We've seen, would you say 20-ish% increase the last few years? I mean, easily, right?
Over the last several years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's plenty to get that done. One more time, James Hagan, 858-997-5825 with U.S. Mortgage Corporation. One more time, 858-997-5825, James Hagan. Now, we have a couple comments about the state of where rates are going, right? I mean, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't suspect any massive increases in real estate values here in the next little bit. I think we're going to probably sit 4-5% right about inflation. Not going to see the 20% anymore in any either direction, up or down. So as a way of staving off inflation, yeah, I guess real estate's not a bad buy right now, but not amazing the way it was 2 years ago. That ship has kind of sailed, in my opinion, in terms of making massive amounts of equity in a little bit, which is a tad unfortunate because there were all those people that were caught in the short sale foreclosure penalty box. Right? Meaning they couldn't jump right back in the market. And maybe that's rightfully so. Maybe it's not rightfully so. But if you're to come out of that penalty box, and you're going to tell us more about what that penalty box is, but if you're to come out of that penalty box now, in your future, you've essentially missed a big jump in equity.
Right.
A lot. Something that really could help you have recovered from whatever happened to you before. It's a little bit unfortunate about that. Now, when I'm talking penalty box, I'm talking about, again, short sale, foreclosure, or bankruptcy are the three big ones.
Mm-hmm.
What are the general recovery timeframes associated with remortgaging with one of those things happening to you?
Well, there's a lot of new things, new loan instruments are coming into the marketplace. In general, the standard ones with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, it's about a 3-year process on a foreclosure, and with FHA, which is HUD loans, it's about a 4-year process. With bankruptcies, they're all anywhere from 5 to 7 years for those loans to be cured, and you're able to get what they call a prime loan. However, there's several instruments out there now that it reduced loans to value. You can get back in the market a 70% loan to value. They say 1 day out of bankruptcy, but more realistically, 1 year out of bankruptcy, because one of the requirements is a 680 FICO score.
Got it.
Usually you don't have a 680 FICO score the day you get out of bankruptcy.
Sure.
But they are making products available for that group now, and everybody's starting to realize it, especially in light of what some of the big banks did during the modification processes. For instance, they did the dual tracking thing where they foreclosed on the people while they were modifying their loan. And so, like you mentioned, a lot of people got into that category who really didn't deserve to be there, and they've kept their nose clean, they've reestablished credit, they're moving forward. And there's several lenders, we're one of them, who will put that group back in the driver's seat, but at a reduced loan to value. Let's have 30% equity in it. If you're going to purchase a house, let's see 30% down, a 680 FICO score, and then we'll move you forward into your next deal.
a little bit more cautious this time around.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit more about that. We're talking with James Hagen, U.S. Mortgage Corporation, 858-997-5825. One more time, 858-997-5825. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Joe Roach, Coast Appraisal Services, on some renovation tips that give you the biggest bang for your buck. Ahead of us when we come back.
I see your sister in a Sunday dress. She's on the breeze, she bounces her best. She's on the table.
Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM, Real Estate Radio Hour. We've been talking with James Hagen, U.S. Mortgage Corporation. His number, 858-997-5825. One more time, 858-997-5825. I'm going to shift gears here to Joe Roach with Coast Appraisal Services, talking about bang for your buck and renovation tips that give you the most amount of money back. Here on Party Homes List, they have master bath as number two, kitchen being number one. And frankly, I think that's fairly obvious. But what we pointed out is you can give value for upgraded appliances, upgraded cabinets, things above and beyond the white melamine stuff that you get there. Master bath, what are you seeing people are doing in master bath that is really garnishing them extra value when it comes to an appraisal?
Sure. Well, the one thing that I would go back to right away is style. And everything has to pull together. And just because you're using upgraded finishes does not necessarily mean that it's going to form a pleasing place to spend time. So if you're going to be putting time into the master bath, I think natural materials are one of the hottest trends that we've seen, whether that be stone flooring, stone countertops, stone tile. Next, one of the things that we would concentrate on is making certain that we have the option, at least, of having a bath in the home. Now, some, and in particular this list here, allude to the concept that perhaps just having a shower in the master bathroom is sufficient. Well, that's true if you have a bath somewhere else in the home, but I think it's important to have a bath. If you don't have a bath, then you might consider putting a bath in. But once again, we're talking about working within a budget, and the master bath being pretty much the number two area where dollars can be spent in a home. I think that if you are going to put in some new things, let's make sure that you have consistency of use of the various finishes that you're going to consider. Again, the natural products, the natural stone, the natural tile, the natural countertops. But let's take a look at the cabinets. Is the cabinetry going to be matching the cabinetry that's elsewhere in the home? Does it match the other bathroom? Does it match the kitchen? Does it match the hallway cabinetry or any other storage cabinetry that you might have? Because one of the things that we're looking for is consistency and flow throughout the home so that as you move through these new areas, we want it to be obvious that it's new, but we want it also to flow so that it's consistent with the rest of the home. So budget is going to be important once again.
We're talking with Joe Roach here, Coast Appraisal Services, talking bang for your buck when it comes time to renovate a property, and mostly renovating for sale, not necessarily to live in, but renovating with the intent of selling it within the next year here. And something you said, James, in the break there was about shower heads. You're going on tour, you're looking at different homes, different baths, different shower heads, and now if you're looking to sell $1 million-plus home, one shower head's not enough. Isn't that what you were saying?
Yes, exactly. Well, and if it's a $2 or $3 million house, two shower heads is not enough. And Joe can speak to this more clearly than I can. There's a certain quality of appliance or functionality you must have when you move between good, very good, and excellent quality homes, and those can be big jumps in your cost per square foot.
You know, in reality, when you're redoing a bathroom, adding shower heads is fairly inexpensive. You know, a couple $100 can get you all the shower heads you'll ever want as compared to the $10,000 it's going to cost you to renovate the bathroom.
But as Joe said, you can't take a $500,000 house and put six shower heads in and say, okay, now it's a $700,000 house because I've got all this.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
So there is what we call an over-improvement, but there's also an under-improvement. And so we've just kind of looked at both ends of that and making certain that the improvements that you're going to consider are consistent with what the market expectation is. That's where the consult of, especially if you're getting ready to sell, consult of a seasoned veteran in your particular area in terms of a sales agent comes in handy. It's something that there's no replacing, somebody who knows your area and knows what the expectations are. And that alone can help to narrow the choices down to what you may be considering and then installing.
I believe in having a wow factor in the home. One or two things that are just what the buyer walks away with remembering. Of course, the kitchen has to be big, and it has to be some kind of solid countertop, and all the things have to be there. But one or two things that they really walk away with remembering, and if you're renovating a bathroom, and I agree with you, adding multiple showerheads is not going to take you from $500,000 to $700,000. But the cost of doing it, let's say it's an extra $300, $400 for extra showerheads, I'd be willing to bet you get three times that money back afterwards. When you're in the wall, you know, don't go digging in the wall to do it, but when the walls are already open and you're doing it, that's a substantial wow factor. And they talk about things as simple as adding a frameless glass shower door enclosure. I've never been told that there's a huge return on that, but it's certainly something I prefer. The 3/8 inch thick glass that is tempered, it certainly does give a cleaner look nowadays. I would imagine when you start talking million-dollar homes, everybody has something like that, don't they?
Well, they do, or they've got some other variation that is out of the norm. It's different than the average home, and it's consistent with the expectation that a particular home buyer may have when they're looking at homes in that particular category. I would like to just point out one thing that very often works against getting top dollar on your investment, and that is where the homeowner gets ambitious and they decide that they're going to save some money, I'll use that in quotation marks, on the renovation by doing it themselves. And while that can be done to a certain extent, paint, the nine coats of paint that you mentioned, most people can tackle that particular job. But when it comes to the installation of crown molding on perhaps a complex wall facade or even tiling, tiling is not that difficult, but done incorrectly, it can be very problematic, especially if you are trying to do it around existing cabinetry. And that type of thing. So I would caution homeowners to make certain that the renovations that they're going to put in are both consistent with their budget, consistent with the market expectation, and done to the degree of quality that people would expect. Because it's just like that polish job that you just put on your car. Daggone it, it looks great except for that one big scratch is what jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. It's the little details that really make the overall difference.
Yeah, it's a good point you speak about is not getting your money back even when it comes to the kitchen renovation. So that same Tuscan cabinet that we're talking about, you know, it's a barn from the 1800s that they decommission, they mill the cabinets, they're all made custom. You put that in a $500,000 home, you're wasting your money. So it's the building appropriate for the neighborhood. And again, in my mind, something of flair that really pops out is going to give your biggest bang for your buck. Now let's jump to number five, curb appeal. And this is one of the things that I'm obviously a believer in, and I'm a little bit surprised, happily surprised, that appraisers are also subjective in terms of curb appeal. Just recently, my wife is into this organic movement. She never lets the gardener put any fertilizer on the lawn, doesn't let him use the leaf blower. He kind of shows up with a pair of scissors and leaves. That's about all he's allowed to do. But she bought some whatever organic fertilizer and put it on there, and it has just made the grass green. It's so green, and it's so cheap. You know, maybe an extra $20 in water, an extra $30 in fertilizer, and it has just really changed the front yard facade. It's really surprising to me how many people don't take advantage of just making the grass green. It's so cheap. And I guess all the people out there that are concerned about California's water crisis may not be too happy about me saying this, but a huge return on your money just by greening up the grass. Do appraisers see that as well?
Well, there's no category that will say, very green grass, moderately green grass. However, as you pointed out, it's the overall impression when you pull up to the home, the curb appeal. And for me, from an appraisal standpoint, there's a message that when a home is well kept from the exterior, appears to be some detail paid to that curb appeal, it likely has the same type of attention paid to the interior, where there's a uniformity of design, there's a consistent flow through the home in terms of color palette, and the materials that have been chosen all are pleasing and perhaps form that kind of area of the home where you like to spend time, and that's all begins with a curb appeal. So from the standpoint of what you can do out there, certainly touching up the paint on the exterior, planting some flowers, making sure that, as you pointed out, the grass is green, whatever you can do to get people to leave the car and get into the home is the overall aim there.
Crucial. We're talking with Joe Roach here, Coast Appraisal Services, 619-518-3205. One more time, 619-518-3205. Now, quickly, let's touch on something else that I think you're going to tell me is not going to necessarily add value. Adding stuff without permits. Every now and then I see a screened-in patio or a bathroom or a bedroom that may look good. I mean, it may have been put on with good intent, and every homeowner will tell me it was built to code, right? They always say that. Maybe that was code 30 years ago, but built to code. But in terms of appraisal, how can you look at that?
Well, that's a great question, and that is an area that there's a lot of as an appraiser walks up and begins to evaluate a home, it's very obvious what was built at the time that the home was built and what was added, no matter how well they try and disguise it. Unfortunately, we have what we call the public record that we utilize to determine exactly what was permitted, or at least what's in the tax rolls, and that's kind of where we begin. But from the standpoint of adding additional rooms, adding additional features that perhaps turn into habitable area, that is kind of a no-no in the appraisal world. It, from the evaluation standpoint, we very often, unless it's common for the area, which it really never is.
Which it never is.
I mean, you can find homes that have converted garages, yes, but that's not the most common option. Most people want to store their car in the garage.
Sure.
However, my point is that from an appraisal standpoint, we not only do we have to count that area as zero value if it's unpermitted and being used for habitation, but we also have to add in a negative value on what it would take to remove that area and return it to its permitted function and use. And there's all kinds of gray areas in between that. And so this is where experience comes in, because one of the things that we talked about at the break, and I was giving Jim kudos for the overwhelming knowledge that he's got and the experience that he's got in his particular field. When it comes to the appraisal aspect of these gray areas, experience does matter as well. So we want to make sure that accuracy of and valuing the improvements that exist, the in particular the permanent improvements, is first and foremost. But then we get into that gray area of unpermitted structures and additions. And using your experience and then verifying with the proper authorities is how we are able to make sure that we've got maximum value for the homeowner in that given situation. Many times I'll ask the simple question, this area here, I'll make a statement that this area here looks like it was an addition. Was this a permanent addition? And I'm pretty sure that it wasn't, just from the value, or I should say the finish on the addition. But very often the answer I get back is, well, I think so because we bought it this way. And unfortunately for the homeowner, this is where the seasoned real estate agent comes in once again. If it is not permitted, then it has really zero value from an appraisal standpoint and may even incur an additional negative value to remove that or return it. FHA, VA are certain areas where that becomes a real problem.
I can see that. We're talking with Joe Roach, Coast Appraisal Services. His number is 619-518-3205. One more time, 619-518-3205. Talking about adding square footage, adding structures without permits. It does not pay to do so. Pay the city, get it permitted, do it right. When we come back, we're going to talk one more time with James Hagan with U.S. Mortgage Corporation. Ahead of us when we come back. Take me home. Take me down. Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM. We've been talking with Joe Roach, Coast Appraisal Services, 619-518-3205, talking about bang for your buck when doing home renovation. Now we're going to shift gears back to Jim Hagen, U.S. Mortgage Corporation, talking about people getting loans. There was a time when nobody could get one, right?
Yeah.
That was a tough time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
But times are changing.
Every qualified buyer now can get a loan. There is so many loan products out there. As I said, the key is to probe your customer and find out exactly what loan they should be getting. You know, you're the person with the experience, and sometimes they say, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. I heard that FHA has a 2.5% down, so let's get that loan. Well, that may not be the right loan for you, because with that 2.5%, by the time you get through the additional closing costs, you've more than eaten up the benefit of getting that sort of a loan. So you should get the best loan that you can qualify for. You've got to look at what your overall financial situation is going to be, where you're going in the next 5 to 10 years, and pick out a loan that meets those criteria. Before we move into that, I want to just clarify one thing that we were talking about earlier about the appraisal situation. It is all lenders who just say if the permit is not there, it does not exist. It's not just FHA and VA. Many years ago, there was a big difference between FHA and VA in terms of the type of appraisal they did and the conventional loans. And now they are pretty much all standardized appraisal. And so there's not going to be additional work on the FHA, VA, than a conventional loan. Pretty much only work you're going to see on appraisal is health and safety hazards and things that are really obvious that you as a realtor, when you do your disclosures, your massive stack of disclosures, you're not going to let somebody sign off on that anyway. You know, and that goes along with going back through the way the VA has always protected the veteran in terms of the house. Well, now we're all should be protecting our clients. We should be making sure that they're getting the value they think they're getting, they're getting the loan they think they're getting. As I spoke at a meeting this morning, I said, you know, what we're trying to do is create a client for life with you. We don't want to, a lot of people focus on just doing one deal and moving on. We want every 5 to 10 years, these people are getting back in the real estate market. They've all got friends. So everyone who's going through this, you can always go on the internet and get your loan prices and that sort of a thing. And people come to me with that and say, well, what about this? And I say, okay, you've got to get into the fine print and that kind of stuff. And is this right for you? You know, you're going to be moving up in 3 years. Do you really need a 30-year fixed? Or, you know, you're just not going to qualify for this particular loan you're going for. What I look at right now, when a guy comes to me, I say, are you a veteran? That's the best loan out there. And that goes up to $1 million. We lend on VA lending, and you pay the 25% down of the difference between the 533 and the million. Still makes up for great, ends up with $1 million loan at about 15% down. There are many lenders right now, we're one of them, who will do a 90% loan with no PMI. Up to $1 million. And the way we're doing that is with the help of banks who are putting on a 10% second behind an 80% loan. So they're getting the benefit of having really great rates, say a 4.25% rate on the underlying first trust deed, and then a 4 or 5% rate on a smaller amount and only putting 10% down. Now that's out there.
Well, let's touch on that one more time. I think there's a couple different scenarios. One is a 90-10. Another one might be an 80-10-10, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the two scenarios.
Right.
So perhaps you can explain the difference between the two one more time, because this is a little bit complicated.
Well, I mean, it depends on, let's say, where I could see the 90-10 is basically the guy's putting 10% down. He's taking a 90% loan to $1 million. The 80-10-10, he's got a second trust deed on there. And let's say he's has sold another house, has been for sale, has not closed while he's going into his new house. He knows he's going to have a chunk of change, so he only wants an 80% loan. He doesn't want to have that extra money. So he'll take that short-term second trust deed and pay that off. And pretty much everything you'll see today has no prepayment penalty, so it's always able to be paid off. So that's one scenario where I would see recommending a loan like that for someone. You asked me during the break about the low doc loans. Those have come back quite a bit. We've got ability to use bank statements to verify income and do the 12-month bank statement product, you know, personal bank statements. It's a little bit of a cost. There are bank statement loans where we're allowed to use the income out of the bank statement. Let's say they don't have much on their tax returns. They've got income coming out of their 401ks, out of their normal accounts. We can use that as income. You know, those are generally lower loan-to-values loans. You're not going to mix a 90% loan with a low-down bank statement product. But and there's a little bit of a premium on the interest rate, but certainly not more than would keep you from getting back in the market.
We're talking with James Hagan. His number, 858-997-5825. He's with U.S. Mortgage Corporation. One more time, 858-997-5825. And one of the things that I find that is most relevant about these additional loan products is there was a time when lenders didn't want to make loans. They were scared to make loans. Now we're coming back with people that'll take seconds. They will lend seconds up to 90% of the value of the home, and people are now willing to do loans with limited documentation. Mm-hmm. That, in my opinion, tells me that the lenders have some renewed confidence in the market coming back and not falling apart. Usually, that's the these additional loans will continue to move the market forward, but I think it shows a pretty good money where your mouth is, so to speak, test with respect to the general idea that things are going to get better, you know, and they've gotten better, but they're not going to fall apart tomorrow.
Yeah.
You see the similar scenario out there?
I do, and I think it really is. We've gone back to the 1988 lending rules where you can do low doc loans, but they've got to be at a certain loan to value. They've got to be, you have some common sense. I mean, we just went crazy there. We're our own worst enemy. We start doing 100% loans to people with 580 FICO scores, and why would anyone think that was going to be a problem? And we basically took away the rule number one, which was ability to repay. And we replaced that with ability to make commission, you know, and that was crazy. And I don't mean just the lenders. I mean, that was from the investment bankers, the real estate community, and even the borrowers themselves who were doing that. We've gotten stated income loans will come back again. Mm-hmm. But stated income, you know, you can't state you're making $40,000 a month and you're driving a 1970 Corolla with nothing in the bank. That's not going to happen anymore, you know. And so that's and I apologize to all the Japanese car fans out there.
We're talking with Jim Hagan here. His number, 858-997-5825. He's with U.S. Mortgage Corporation. One more time, 858-997-5825. Also, we've heard from Joe Roach with Coast Appraisal Services. You can reach him at 619-518-3205. One more time, 619-518-3205. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Always good to be here.
Coming up next, San Diego Spotlight.